Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's hour number two of the early line right here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wright. Had a lot for us to get to in this hour. We've got Joe Burrow versus Tom Brady coming on up. We've got the pick six there with what should be a huge week 15 for the pick six action. But we've also got World Cup 2022. The final is set. Argentina against France. Messi versus Mbappe, the reigning champion. French side trying to go back-to-back has not been done in a long time. And Messi playing in potentially not just his last World Cup, but his final international game for Argentina ever, trying to win his first World Cup for this country. It is a huge game. Cannot be overstated. Let's start it off with our friend Simon Borg over at the Sporting News to see what he thinks heading into the weekend.
It's the World Cup final many were hoping for. The two heavyweights going at it on Sunday, France versus Argentina. Either France repeat as champs or Argentina give Lionel Messi his first ever World Cup trophy in the last World Cup match of his career. It's going to be good. I'm Simon Borg of the Sporting News with your World Cup update. The odds are out for this game, and interestingly, defending champs France are only slight favorites in the final. And that's probably because the French were up against it in the quarters against England and in the semis against Morocco, but they survived both those games to reach the final. And they're going to try to become the first team to repeat as champs since Brazil did it back in 1962, and that's despite a slew of injuries. Argentina were a little bit more impressive than France in their last two knockout matches, and it's been a great turnaround for Messi and friends after that disastrous loss to Saudi Arabia to start the tournament. So we have the number three team in the world against number four. Both were among the four teams deemed most likely to win it all in Qatar before the tournament began. Surprise, surprise, this is going to be a very even matchup. So who wins out? Based on what I've seen from both teams over the last year plus and in this tournament, there's one big difference that separates these two teams. Argentina have an edge that France just don't. Argentina are on a mission. They've been on a mission for over a year, and it has everyone playing out of their skin, without exception. They want to win it for Messi. Even 35-year-old Lionel Messi is playing the best he ever has at a World Cup. It's the end for him. He's prepared to give it all up. And if he's going to do it, his teammates are prepared to do the same. Argentina moneyline is the only way I'm going here. And I expect the early Argentina number to start coming in as the Messi narrative gains steam. Many people will bet Argentina because of Messi. But I bet them because you have 26 players who are putting one person ahead of themselves, and they're desperate enough to bite off an arm to get Messi his trophy. Nothing is standing in their way, not even the defending champs.
An interesting set of odds to peel through here, as you have France at minus 110 to lift the cup and Argentina at minus 106. If you think that this game can avoid going into extra time, there's plenty of plus money. But it suggests right here that this is, again, an even game. Plus 180 for Argentina, plus 180 for France. The draw is plus 195. it is a bit tempting. What's almost surprising to me, while understanding that these are two teams that have boasted solid defensive efforts on a regular basis throughout this tournament, is that both teams to score number is only minus 102. As our radio audience enters the fold here on a Friday morning, the early line Sirius XM, channel 159. The idea that both of these sides won't be able to find the back of the net, again, is a bit, it's hard to believe for me in a way, Donnie. Again, because I think that both of these teams, we talk about what they're seeing on the other side. Again, maybe it's an upgrade on the defensive side of it, but it's also an upgrade from the attacks that they've been facing in this tournament. It's the number that's catching my attention here at minus 102 for both of these teams to score.
And it makes some sense, too, because we don't, even though it is a monster stage here, right, the World Cup final, does it feel like France and Argentina are going to feel each other out here, like they're going to have nerves and butterflies? These guys are world-class performers going at it toe-to-toe, so I do think there's going to be opportunities to score in this game. Also, from just from a fan perspective, I would like to see this game done in 90 minutes plus stoppage time, not go the extra, you know, two periods and then end up in a ridiculous penalty kick to decide a World Cup. So I do hope we get some action and get it often and early. It would be nice to have, like, three goals scored in this game. Maybe Messi punches in one and Mbappe on the other side, but also quickly to point out, Kevin, I mean, how many golden awards do we have here, right? The golden boot, the golden ball, the golden glove, the golden leg, the golden glasses. I mean, come on, enough with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, golden ball is for the MVP. Golden, I mean, glove is for the best goalkeeper. Horrible. And then golden boot is literally just the highest goal scorer there.
Ridiculous.
So
there's a ball and a boot. Really, I mean, come on. Why not a shoe?
Not all that confusing. I mean, it's simply just who's ever got the most points there. It's all right. Great. Hey, look, great breakdown out of you, though. Love to see what you're seeing heading into a big World Cup match here.
What's going on?
No, he's not, man. He's not. He's going to have on a beautiful pair of Adidas, most likely, heading into this match. Speaking of Messi, a number that I think you're going to see a lot of people involved in, I'm sure, of course, the anytime goal scorer at plus 170. But considering how do-it-all nature he has been for this team, he's minus 120 to score or assist. If Argentina is able to score, you expect Messi to be involved in some way. The one thing is, Messi's also had three penalties in this tournament, which is a lot. It's not been as much from the open run there. I do think Mbappe at that same number, plus 125 to score or assist, is a bit tempting. We go to Burrow versus Brady next right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Arguably the biggest game on the slate for Week 15 involves the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Cincinnati Bengals. Part of that very well could just still be the surprise nature that exists around the numbers we're seeing with Tampa Bay starting to truly be booked like I think the team they've showed us all season long. A 3.5-point home underdog. Tom Brady has very, very rarely been a dog at his own building throughout his career. And that's what we've got here with Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, one of just the greatest ATS starts to a career we've ever seen. Really, it's incredible. 17-3 against the spread in his last 20. It's dominance, dominance, dominance from Joe Burrow against the number on a regular basis here. Do you think it continues against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
It should, you know, they should be able to beat them. And I don't want to say how fairly easily this is going to be. Now, hear me out on this. The FanDuel Sportsbook opened this game up at 2.5 as a favorite to the road team, the Bengals. Now he's sitting at 3.5, and I do agree with that. The total, I don't agree with, though, Kevin. 42.5 up to 44.5. You say, what do you get? Brady, it's Burrow, and these teams should get after it. You're not playing in the cold weather. It'll probably be 60 degrees, no rain in the forecast in Tampa. I hear you. But Tampa Bay's offense stinks out loud. They don't score against anybody here. They're not a high-flying offense. They're not moving with tempo. They don't have the ability anymore, it seems like, to get that 50-yard touchdown. It's more 3-yard passes and a cloud of dust here. But also from a Cincinnati perspective, that offense can move the football. But let's take a look at what we're actually getting going into this road game. Sure, looks like you're going to have Joe Mixon there, Samaje Perine, Joe Burrow, he's fine. Great. Offensive line, still going to be intact. but the wide receiver position a little bit up for grabs here. The reason we're talking about it, Ja'Marr Chase should be okay. And as long as he's there, you should be able to move the football. But how about big time question marks when you have this trio healthy? We're talking about Boyd, Higgins, and Chase, one of the best, if not the best in football. Now you're taking a look at Boyd, who had a dislocation of his finger where the bone actually popped through the skin. We'll see how that's going to help. And Grant, you're a wide receiver. You're catching footballs. That's going to hurt regardless. And if they're going to, you know, tape two of the fingers together, put a splint on there, that's not going to help you at all. You're not a defensive back that can just put a club on your hand and knock the football down. You got to be able to make catches. And also, how about T. Higgins, who last week, Kevin, played one play in that game and sat out because he didn't want to re-injure his hamstring or maybe felt it tweak a little bit. He's got limited practices in this week. And as we know, hamstrings can go at any time. So let's just say worst case scenario, by the end of the first quarter, T. Higgins is already out. Boyd has that, you know, finger contraption here that's really limiting him in trying to catch the football. I think this game will be close. I think the Bengals win it. But again, I'm not believing in Tampa Bay getting to 24 points here and pushing the issue with Cincinnati. I play this game to the under.
I think that's fair because, again, everything with Tampa Bay this season has been pointing towards the under. I believe they've only seen two of their 13 games this season in the first half go over. We know that Cincinnati's been a strong second half under team, so you can kind of capture the whole picture there and expect this to be lower scoring. My initial worry is, again, this idea that Cincinnati could kind of run up the score like we saw San Francisco do last week. And you would think the Bucs have a bit more success here at home against Cincinnati than what they were able to have against the San Francisco 49ers. Again, even if you think the Bengals, let's just call it, say you think they're the 10th best defense in football, right? The Niners are no worse than the third best defense in football. And for many people, the very, very best. And now you're back at home. I think what's getting kind of interesting here with this Bucs team is their team totals. They've gone over, I cannot stress this enough, once, Donnie. They've gone over their team total once this season. 12-1 to the under. I mean, that is an unimaginable hit rate. We check in again this game here, 20.5. Why should I believe that they are going to put up three touchdowns? I look at this game and I have to almost stop myself. I see, man, Brady, 3.5 in his own building. Cincinnati's not 100%. He's got to be able to find a way. He's got to be able to find a way. But to your point, well, then I might as well just bet the under. In what world is this Bucs team finding a way 24-21 their direction? Finding a way 30-24? Hey, finding a way in a loss, 24-21, which would be over their team total over this game. It does feel like if you have any indication that Tampa Bay is to keep this close, it is to be a lower scoring affair. The thing about that, Donnie, that is such a struggle for me and why we've talked so much about this offense is we feel as it's every dog has its day. Every team has their moments where they have these offensive explosions, right? They exceed past expectations. You notice it's not the Bucs are one of the worst team total teams in football, right? You know, along with the Texans. No, but those teams hit team totals occasionally. They adjust their numbers, right? At some point, and it'll sound foolish to say, but at some point, do the Bucs have to have a good offensive game, Donnie, where things just happen to click for them?
Yeah, and see the way we're handicapping this? Hey, maybe the Bengals will blow two coverages in this and Mike Evans will actually catch a wide-open 75-yard touchdown and not actually drop the football. But when we're trying to, you know, analyze this game overall, you heard my handicap was basically like, well, the Bucs better hope that two of the three wide receivers don't show up in this game for the Bengals and then they'll be in it. That just shows you, like, we're not using the Bengals as a team. We're actually using the Bengals as maybe they underwhelm and the Bucs can actually hang around. And I keep getting back. It's incredible. Look, I know the offensive line for the Bucs has really struggled this year and has been injured. But Brady is healthy and so are his three wide receivers. Now, maybe Julio Jones, I saw, didn't practice for the past 2 days with a knee injury. I don't know if that's just his normal knee that he sits out during the week or not. But this team should be much, much better than what it is. I don't care. It never mattered in the past. Like, hey, Brady can't get out of the way of the pass rush. It was always like, Brady knows exactly where the blitzer is coming, and it doesn't matter what you do. He sees three steps ahead and will complete that pass. And a lot of times over his career, he didn't even have any wide receivers that could sniff Godwin and Mike Evans on the outside. Something is broken with Tampa Bay, and we're so far past the point of no return where he's saying like, oh, next week, Kevin, they'll get it together. I don't worry, next week, they're going to get it together. We can do that again, finding the Bucs with 3 points to start the fourth quarter and have the announcers tell us again, well, if you remember, they still got Tom Brady. They can always come back. Enough with that.
it's incredible to watch that shift that we're starting to see with this team, which made me want to bring up one final point here. This game, preseason, right, would have been match specials heaven. Each quarterback to throw a touchdown in each half, 504. Each team for a passing and a rushing touchdown. Donnie would have been involved with some field goal each quarter just because. When we get to Sunday, and I know you've pulled back on them a little bit this season, because some of the match specials and finding different markets, but it's Joe Burrow and Tom Brady, right? Do you even think that this game would catch your eye in a match specials department? Because I'm trying to figure out what the numbers are going to be. Like, are we going to get a bad plus 150 for 504? Or am I going to get Joe Burrow and Tom Brady for 504 at 4-1? Because at some point then, you know how this goes with you and I when it gets to match specials. Man, this game's going to be ugly. And then they hang those big numbers and we go, oh, this is game of the year.
Yeah. Now, it's one of those, Kevin, where, you know, last year, like, I loved the 1-1 for the quarterbacks. Each quarterback to throw a touchdown in each half, give me that plus money. Beginning of the season, if you were circling games, you go, what? What is going to be minus money here? You know, minus 140 for both of these guys? Because they seem like it would be a shoe-in for that. And the best part about it is you're going, like, I just don't think Tom Brady can throw even a touchdown pass in this game. It's incredible how the mighty have fallen, as we have to say, for Tom Brady, where if they get to 21, it's like standing ovation because they scored 3 touchdowns in a football game for Brady. Incredible.
It really, if they do score 21, if I just tell you they score 21 points, would you take plus 3.5 or still lay the 3.5?
Actually, I might take the plus 3.5 if they get to 21. How crazy is that? It's crazy.
It's
because that's a huge game.
Yeah,
for them.
It's like, wow. All right, they played their best game of the season.
They're in
right?
it. Like they're in it.
Yeah, they're in the mix, man. A lot more to get to. Some good matchups featuring the AFC. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday morning, continue to peel through week 15 in the NFL. We've got ourselves a little Chargers-Titans to start off with here. This is a great game. This is a great game here for us to dive into because you've got a Tennessee Titans group that is riding as low as low, and you got a Chargers team that all of a sudden feels like the juice might be restored thanks to the fact that Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are back in the fold, as this team looked pretty good in their game against the Miami Dolphins on a Sunday night. Field goal number here for the Los Angeles Chargers. I almost thought this was going to be a little bit higher. Total checks in 46.5. What are you thinking?
Yeah, FanDuel actually opened this game up at a minus 1.5 favorite here for the Chargers. So this one going up to 3, not real surprise to me. And I guess if you took a look at how the two teams fared last weekend, that's the difference from that 1.5 now up to a 3, where you saw the Chargers play a good football game against the Miami Dolphins and the Tennessee Titans with an absolute no-show in a divisional game. This line also opened up at 45.5 as a total, now sitting at 46.5. And I do agree with that. But sometimes it comes down to, you know, a point of reference in the season. Tennessee, it's pretty clear to me, Kevin. They're leaking oil and they're injured, which is never a good combination. So as we take a look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and we use that term offensive ceiling, what is the real offensive ceiling here for the Tennessee Titans coming into this game? If Derrick Henry runs for over 100 yards, like, hey, man, that probably means you're in the 30s. No, it doesn't with this football team. It probably means they get around the 20s mark here because it's up to Ryan Tannehill to throw to a bunch of bums at wide receiver and tight end to try to move the football. Not the case anymore here with the Los Angeles Chargers, as we're actually getting healthy at the right time in the season. For the past few years, we always talk about the Chargers. You're like, man, this team can't stay healthy or find a kicker at that point. And you have a head coach that goes for it on fourth down on his own 1 yard line on fourth and 20 instead of punting because analytics told him it gave him a 0.01 advantage on actually winning the game, which would be ludicrous. But if I'm looking at this game analytically for myself, throw it out the window. The Chargers are just a better football team overall. They have the better quarterback. They have the better wide receivers. And they are getting some pieces back healthy on defense, unlike the Tennessee Titans, who seem to be getting re-injured each and every week. It looks like, I don't like to use that term, a trap line overall. But honestly, who is looking at this game outside of, I said again, let's just say a contrarian point of view? Is anybody saying, hey, man, I can't wait to take the Titans this weekend. What a great spot for them. Not to me.
I think that this Titans team, though, typically with Mike Vrabel, has bounced back. I still believe in the quality of coach that Mike Vrabel is. And I still think that Derrick Henry finds himself in a phenomenal matchup here against the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm not disagreeing with you for the sake of disagreeing with you. But we have seen Mike Vrabel go on losing streaks against the spread, and typically he finds his way back then into the win column. Very, very often. I mean, this is a guy that has a straight-up winning record when priced as an underdog. West Coast has never been an issue for him either in his coaching career. Perfect when he plays out West. But it specifically makes me think that this is an over game. We're starting to see the Titans defense exposed. The Chargers back with their 1-2 punch at the wide receiver position should be solid here. And again, I think Tennessee is going to be able to play well against this defense. I think you're seeing an undervalued total at 46.5 that maybe puts a little bit of too much stock into what the Chargers were able to do to the Dolphins on Sunday Night Football. Great game plan. Give them credit for it, even if it maybe was a bit of a copy and paste effort from what the Niners did before. But they had to execute, and that's exactly what they did. Though it's not going to be applicable here really all that much to the Tennessee Titans. This is a century mark game here for Derrick Henry, and I think that you're going to see the Titans offensively have themselves a nice day. I think their team total's tempting as we head into this matchup here. This, though, again, just to quickly let people know, AFC race, this is a very important game. Just to give people an idea, let's say Donnie bangs both games, Chargers, Titans, Cowboys, Jags. Tennessee falls to 7-7. Jacksonville would sit at 6-8. All the Jags need is to get to the final week of the season with a one-game gap between them and Tennessee. Well, if the results that Donnie sees this week come in, yes, all of a sudden, that one-game gap is there. Jags would be able to control their own destiny hosting the Tennessee Titans the final week of the season. Are you starting to see any value on a big Jacksonville ticket here? Plus 460 to win this division and steal it away from Tennessee?
It could be. And you take a look, Kevin, like how about the NFC South and the AFC South? Setting up as almost the same type of races where you have the team up top going like, everybody stinks. It feels like we don't even have to win a football game over the final month and we just automatically win the division, which might not be the case either way. And you're taking a look, as I said, late in the season, you want guys to come back. You want to be playing at your highest level. Tennessee's not doing that here. And all you need is that one glimmer here because you know that from a betting perspective, right? You take a look at Jacksonville and Tennessee. Jacksonville's not going to go, oh man, I don't want to face Tennessee again. Why not? You just clean them up. You're licking your chops if you can be within one game with the game to play of the Tennessee Titans at this point. And also, playing with that pressure, and I'm with you on this. Vrabel's a very good head coach. Would it surprise me, astound me, if they won the football game Sunday? No, it wouldn't, because that's what the Titans do. But it's very hard to win games like, hey, man, we got to hold the other team under 20 points and get lucky out here just to win. That's a sign that your head coach really has you in football games like Dable and the Giants were doing over the first half of the season. I just don't trust the Titans. There's a legitimate chance. I love to look at the bigger picture saying, hey, what if this happens? And the Jaguars are square right there. Now, the Jaguars lose this weekend. It's going to all go up in flames. But I honestly think it's a legitimate chance that they can beat the Cowboys. And also, as you said, the Chargers should be able to beat the Tennessee Titans.
Man, it is just, it's incredible to think if Jacksonville could, because then, look, if the Jags take this division, right, that means they'd be playing red-hot football, host their opening game, all of a sudden you're in the semis if you're in the AFC, if you're the Jags. It's the best is, We're talking about this 5-8 team that every week you go, maybe, and they let you down, and it goes, the other way. We'll see if that plays here. Raiders-Patriots, we talked about this game a little bit yesterday here. Josh McDaniels against Bill Belichick here. This number, very tight, minus 110 Vegas, minus 106 patch on the money line. Total for this one is 44.5. Derek Carr, Mac Jones? That's not really the quarterback battle you're looking for. But what do you think here, Vegas and New England?
I got to tell you, I look at the line, right? Opens up at 1.5, stays around that minus one. And Vegas is probably going to close a favor in this game. But I look at to myself and say, how do you back New England in the spot? Is it just that you say, like, well, it's Bill Belichick and I trust his team and they'll have a good defensive scheme? Because what are you getting on of offense here? It used to be you can lean on Ramondre Stevenson. Well, he's probably not going to play in this game. And if he does, we'll be hobbled. Who knows about Damian Harris when he's ever coming back? Your top wide receiver, if you even had a top wide receiver, Devontae Parker with a concussion, probably won't play in this game. Where are your points coming from the New England Patriots? Now, the one thing, I'm not in love with the Vegas Raiders, but if we're getting guys healthy and getting guys back and you have Devontae Adams and Jacobs already in your backfield, you should be able to score points on that New England defense here. So if I'm just looking at this objectively, do I love the Vegas Raiders? Do I love the direction they're heading in? Who knows what they're going to do next year? But they're way more talented on offense, and I would trust them to score points because I don't want to be the guy that's going, well, why did you take this game? I don't know. Belichick will find a way. Yeah, I'm not doing that here. It's the Vegas Raiders for me.
Man, I don't blame you. Look, again, Vegas is such an interesting group. I think the issue with trusting them in a game like this, and I think I tend to agree with you across the board with this game, is you know that the Raiders up in this game by 10 in the middle of the third quarter. Like, we're not home free. Like, this is, right? Like, if this is your game of the week by chance, you love Vegas this week, you're not turning this game off. There's no, all right, we're good here. This is all signed, sealed, and delivered. Their ability to blow a football game is disastrous. Right. Yeah. And when you factor in trust level, right, McDaniels, Belichick, that's kind of where some of that hesitation for me would come in. Though, again, I think I agree with everything that you said. Panthers-Steelers is a sneaky big game. Carolina trying to get into the mix here with all of a sudden this race against the Tampa Bay Bucs. If favorites hold, Carolina is going to be a favorite, not favorite, excuse me. They're going to be in first place in the NFC South. They will not be favored to win the South, but they will all of a sudden find themselves checking in first place after 15 weeks of action. They're a 3-point favorite against Mike Tomlin, total 37.5. What do you see?
Yeah, coaching mismatch here, Wilkes over Tomlin. Exactly what, I see it in your notes right here off screen. Like, that's the matchup you try to want to exploit here with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But this is a simple cap for me, Kevin. You're going to like this one. And I use this every once in a while. The Carolina Panthers shouldn't be favored over anybody at this point. I don't care if it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, if it's the Maserati quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, or if he can go back to Kenny Pickett here. That's the way I stand on this game. If the Carolina Panthers win in their favorite and they're still going to hang around in the NFC South, so be it here. Do I love the Pittsburgh Steelers? No, I don't at this point. But it's a simple fact is, if I'm going to get 3 points here, I'm taking the dog in the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the handicap for me here.
Yeah, because you know that you should be betting Mike Tomlin as a dog, as we've gone over a number of times, especially now that we're at a full field goal here. Yeah, I'm a bit surprised by this movement. The Carolina love, I think, is going a little too far. Sam Darnold, in his career, as a favorite. Not only is he 4-8 against the number, he's got a losing record straight up when booked as a favorite. Steelers win this football game and give the Bucs a little bit of a helping hand in that race for the NFC South. Though, by the way, just so people know, the Brady news hits the phone, right? The first thing I did was text Donnie because I was blown away. The second thing I did was put some money down on the Bucs futures because you kind of had to. The numbers thought that Blaine Gabbert was going to be the quarterback here. And even though I have that, I don't even know if I would be disappointed if they found a way to lose this division to Carolina or Atlanta. I think it would be all too funny if somehow the Bucs fumbled it to that degree. And I also then think that when Tom does request to leave Tampa Bay, Bruce Arians should be given an open mic and an absolute full freedom to say whatever he wants at the end of this season. We got a couple of games left, plus the pick six. It's a Friday on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pick six time, almost. Two more games to get to. NFC South action between the Saints and the Atlanta Falcons. The big story of this game, the Desmond Ridder debut. What do we expect from him up against the New Orleans Saints, which has not been a great defense for most of this season, though they have played two solid games back-to-back weeks, the New Orleans Saints up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the San Francisco 49ers. Both of these teams also coming off of a bye, so a bit rare to think that a team getting a rest advantage this deep into the season is actually going to be a bit irrelevant here, as both are, again, coming off of very late into the year bye weeks here. The Saints are a 4.5-point favorite. The total for this one, Donnie, is 43.5.
It sounds about right. You're going to have a rookie quarterback go on the road against a pretty good defense here in New Orleans. Now, the question is, what are you actually getting in New Orleans? How motivated will they be? Well, it is a division game, and it is a pretty heated rivalry down there in the NFC South. The total of this game listed at 43.5, and I haven't really changed through much of the week here. It's very hard for me and very rare for me that I would go out on a limb and say, okay, I'm going to take a rookie quarterback in his first start here in the NFL, because typically when you're doing that, it's a team that's out of it, which technically Atlanta isn't out of it, or you just getting injected in there because somebody was injured and maybe the quarterback isn't even ready. I think this date was targeted here by the Atlanta Falcons, but it's just so convenient where, hey, Marcus Mariota is going to go down for a knee surgery. Did he need that knee surgery like 3 weeks ago? Or is this one of those things that goes, hey, by the way, did you say your knee hurt? Yeah. Well, all right, we're going to get it scoped out and clean that thing up. You'll be done for the year. And Ridder's not going to have to look over his shoulder at this point here. But I also think if you're coming off of a bye, you are going to have plays scripted in that first half, which if you're Ridder, you're very comfortable with. Where things get a little bit dicey is as you get into that 20th play, the 30th play, the 40th play, into the second half, where, again, you're on the road in a loud environment, in a dome down in New Orleans. I'm not confident enough to take the Atlanta Falcons, Kevin, the entire way through. If you're asking for like better team, it's probably Atlanta if you just look at the record. But talent-wise, I do think New Orleans actually has more talent than the Atlanta Falcons do. If I'm looking at anything in this game, I would take the Atlanta Falcons in the first half, where Ridder is comfortable with all those scripted plays, and there's no real book on Desmond Ridder just yet in the NFL.
You know, I think the surprising thing to me is I feel like this would be a shorter number with Mariota, and I think I'm higher on Ridder than Mariota. I just don't know if I'm correct about that. See, if you would say, if I could be positive that, hey, this number would have been 3 with Marcus Mariota, okay, well, then I like the Falcons because I don't think that we should be moving 1.5 against Desmond Ridder. I get it. It's the debut. I don't see him being a downgrade to Marcus Mariota. But if this is a spot where they just think it's a great spot for the Saints, who, by the way, they've been a home favorite twice this year, and they've won both of those games by a touchdown. Covering in both. Really nice offensive performances in both as well. A pair of overs the two times this season that the Saints have been favored in their own building. So I respect that number. An odd thing and something you rarely see, though, is both of these teams are coming off of two consecutive games where they did not score 20-plus and their opponent did not score 20-plus. Super low-scoring football for both of these teams in back-to-back weeks. You would think there could be some level of due on the offensive side of things here and a buy-low spot on a 43.5. I think Ridder can open some things up for Atlanta offensively there. Their team total 19.5. Even the Saints' number of 23.5 is tempting in this game. We go over to one final game. Broncos-Cardinals. Get excited, people. Brett Rippon, Colt McCoy. Brett Rippon's a field goal favorite. That might be all of the analysis that I feel necessary to provide people. Why are we laying a field goal with Brett Rippon? I simply don't understand. I know that the Broncos defense is excellent, and it could be set up that where Colt McCoy could struggle mightily against this unit. But if you tell me, hey, Colt McCoy, you know, led the Cardinals to 13 points, are you sure that you like Brett Rippon to get to 17? It does feel like this 37.5, by the way. It's an NFL game, so they can't They can't make Iowa, Kentucky 31 and a half lines. But it also feels like you just play this under here and hope there aren't defensive touchdowns.
Well, here's the thing. Russell Wilson is progressing through concussion protocol, practicing yesterday once again. Friday, as we know, there might be a chance that he gets cleared or maybe even on Saturday. So that's why you see that line open that's up at a minus one now climbing to three. Exactly. And this is the point I wanted to get into. It's not so much a handicap on the game where Colt McCoy could be a functional quarterback in the NFL. Connor can be a functional running back. And, of course, you got DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver. And what looks like usually is a terrible Denver Broncos offense, regardless of what quarterback is actually going to be in the game. But they do have a decent defense here. So you look at that 37 and a half, and it would make some sense. But aside from the handicap here, if I am the Denver Broncos ownership group, which again is the Walton family, which comes from Walmart money, maybe they don't care about money at this point here. All that money they signed to Russell Wilson, who hasn't looked that great this year. He actually came out of his shell last week before he got rocked and was basically knocked out during a football game. Your season is over. You're not fighting for the one seed. You're not fighting for a playoff spot. Are we telling, you know, our fans, you know what? This game means something, which like, technically it does. You want to put your best foot forward. But what happens if Russell Wilson plays in this game, gets injured again with another concussion? Mm-hmm. What is the point of this? Like, why are you just saying, hey, Russ, we're going to be extra cautious here? My question even last week, Kevin, was do we even see Russell Wilson for the rest of the year after this concussion? Because what's the point of him actually being out there? There is no point to it. So the fact that I see Russell Wilson in full gear progressing through the concussion protocol and see that three, it's really baffling at this point if they actually let him play. It looks like Russell Wilson wants to play. Nathaniel Hackett's going, hey, man, every win I can get might save my job. I mean, who are we protecting here? The head coach who wants to keep his job or your quarterback that is going to be a $50 million a year guy for like five more seasons and you're going to run him out here?
What's incredible to me is while that might explain the number some, you're then telling me that Russell Wilson at home with his defense isn't more than a field goal favorite, right? Against the Arizona Cardinals. But also to your point, right? Not all concussions are the same. But they're all to be taken serious. But for though, if you didn't see the Russell Wilson hit, I don't want to tell you seek it out, but just trust me.
Yeah.
It was one of the concussion hits where you go,
yes.
Ugh. Oh, boy. Like, it was uncomfortable to watch in that moment there. And it wasn't much as a hit. It was more of a landing. But he wasn't moving, right? Like, initially there.
Eyes rolled back in his head. Yeah.
Yeah. Hard to see him taking the field here. I hope he doesn't take the field. And that's not because I'm sitting here telling you Cardinals, Cardinals, Cardinals. Should not be out there. You're a 3-10 football team. Honestly, they should be shutting him down point blank. Period. I know it's not your draft pick, but does people forget that he had basically a busted hamstring? But because of his Wolverine blood, he's playing through, and he had to get an injection in his arm so he could push through and actually complete passes. And like, it's the one thing I'll just say this, and then we'll get to the pick six. But when we're breaking down the Denver Broncos next year, I think there's going to be a lot of people very confident and bold in telling you that Russ is washed and expect absolutely nothing from him. I'm going to have more hesitation. And I have more right than anybody to tell you that he's completely cooked as I picked this team to win a Super Bowl and watched him be the main reason, or Hackett, combination of the two, why they have no chance to actually get into the playoffs despite having a top five defense in the NFL. But he has been injured nearly the entire season. It's just something to keep in mind for next year. But who cares about next year? Who cares about next week? Let's get to this week. Let's get to the pick six, touchdown score, money line dog, under alt line yards prop, teaser game, six different ways to attack the slate. Donnie, you start us off.
Let's get after it. Last week, cashing in on a touchdown prop here. Better late than never with Zeke Elliott, who cashed in with under a minute to go in the fourth quarter there. We're going to keep it the same. And if you are going to continue to give me good prices on Dallas Cowboys running backs who score multiple times every week, I'm going to do the same thing. Even though I do think the Jacksonville Jaguars will nip the Dallas Cowboys. That doesn't mean like Tony Pollard can't get his touchdown here. So we're going to switch it up. Last week was Zeke cashed in. Well, actually, Pollard had two. I'm going to go with Tony Pollard this week. We'll take that number at a plus 100. Let's keep moving down. The money line dog, as I said, the Jaguars took them last week at a plus 168. The price even better this week at home against the Dallas Cowboys at a plus 172. And how about this under? Steelers-Panthers. That's an interesting one, right? Yeah, nobody's going to score in that game. So exactly the same thing here. Under. What's the maximum point total here for the winning side here? 17? 19? Do they get to 20? Yeah, as much as you look at that game, like, I don't even want to watch it. Good, don't. Just don't watch it. And cash in that ticket of under 37.5. The alt line, the Chargers, going up against the Tennessee Titans. I like this game here. If we're looking, I've actually had some really good success this year in these alt numbers. If I'm going to win the football game, there's a good chance I can win it by a touchdown. I don't think the Tennessee Titans are very good on offense or defense right now with how banged up they are. They got raided last week by the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Chargers and Justin Herbert will do the same thing. They'll win by a touchdown or more, and I'll take that plus 162. Devin Singletary, over 40 and a half rushing yards, K-Dub. Love this. If there's snow, if there's no snow, if there's a clear turf, he's going to get 10 carries. He'll go over 40 yards against the Miami Dolphins. And the Ravens here getting 8.5. Give me over a touchdown in that game with I think they have a legitimate chance to win it outright. That's where I'm going. That's a profitable pick six for the week for me, K-Dub.
How about that? The ball. You just get to label it profitable at the end of it.
It's profitable.
That's not, you don't know that yet. Stamp that's it. Not.
No,
that's,
I do know. Look, man, I'm living on the, I already saw it. I already saw the games this weekend.
Right. All right. Hey man, you're all over it. You're seeing the board clearly. We like to see that. I think the Ravens teaser play certainly makes a lot of sense here. Let's run through it though. We got enough time to hit the second pick six, which is mine. Touchdown score, Isaiah Pacheco. I know there's a world that Mahomes just throws 5 touchdowns and leaves everybody waiting. But running backs score against the Texans at a ridiculous level. Ask DRS last week who's all over, Pollard and Zeke. But I know more specifically Ezekiel Elliott. Pacheco, if this is a blowout, Pacheco finds his way in. If they keep it safe, he finds his way in. Maybe he'll catch one. I know that's McKinnon's role, but it's more so the fact that you're going to be getting what's likely going to be around plus 100, I expect, maybe better, for a running back to score against the Houston Texans makes it a great play. Moneyline dog, the Pittsburgh Steelers. No way, no how am I laying a number with Sam Darnold against Mike Tomlin. Can't be. In December, no less. Don't see how that lines up here. The Pittsburgh Steelers and this defense will be able, I think, to go out and get after the Carolina Panthers here. Slow that team down. That offense does not have juice. It's going to be a lower scoring game. We know that. But I think the Steelers will prevail. The under here for me, though, we're going back to the game with Isaiah Pacheco with the Texans and the Chiefs. Look, when the Texans are involved, you're not expecting a ton from them. When the Chiefs are big favorites, you expect an under. That's typically how these games go because they don't cover all that often, so they don't necessarily blow through their expectations. You don't expect them to score 42. Honestly, even if they did, it could be enough to still stay under here. I think the Texans got up major for the game against Dallas and are in for a bit of a letdown. Alt yardage prop. Fields alt over passing yards. Last time he was over 250. This number's going to be the 150s, 160s again against the Birds. He's got a chance to throw for 200 plus in a negative game script against the Philadelphia Eagles. Travis Etienne over his rush yards there. That should be in the mid-50s, I think, against the Cowboys. In a more neutral game script, you're going to see him, I think, blow past against Dallas, who's vulnerable against the run. Teaser game, Cardinals plus the 9. Denver blowing out somebody? Never. Not once. Not going to happen. Close it out, Donnie Wright side with a little listen up on the way out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the week here for the early line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wright side, Kevin Walsh here, as always, 7 to 9 a.m., powering through before handing it over to the morning after and Ben Stevens and the rest of your Sports Grid day. Talked about a lot of stuff today, and certainly, how about this today? Bowl season kicks off in 11:30 a.m. kickoff. Who says no there? Also, a second game here at 3 p.m. The World Cup's this weekend with a consolation game on Saturday and the World Cup final on Sunday. And also, my favorite time of the year. Why? Football slate here on Saturday, college basketball as well. But how about a triple header in the NFL that's going to culminate on Saturday night with the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins, possibly in a huge snow game? Fantastic stuff over the weekend to watch, learn, and listen. But also, we didn't talk too much about the NBA today, which is I'm going to spend some listen up time talking to. Why? Because the NBA, they have an issue, and it's building here, and it has to do with injuries and players sitting out. Listen up. Now, it's one thing to be injured in the NBA and sitting out. There's nothing you can do about that here, right? The Philadelphia 76ers are going to take on the Golden State Warriors here in Philadelphia. They don't make many trips here to Philadelphia. And being a very good team with a lot of superstars, particularly with Curry, you want to see him on the court. And kids buy tickets and parents buy tickets for the kid. And quite frankly, the parents want to go see Steph Curry as well. He's going to miss a couple weeks here with a shoulder injury. Nothing you can do about that. But how about the Brooklyn Nets fine $25,000 for sitting eight players, the majority not really injured, just quote-unquote maintenance days? It's a tough look for the NBA because no other real sports do this. Now, baseball teams play a 162-game schedule, and some of the players are going to take off a game a week because most of the times they're playing six games in a single week. We understand that. The NHL, you don't get any maintenance days. The NFL, heck, you're only playing 17 games. There is no maintenance days. It'll be interesting to see moving forward where you take a look at the regular season, which big-time matchups in the NBA are so few and far between. Why? Not because good teams aren't playing each other. It's because the superstars, the chances they might match up on a TNT game or an ESPN game, and they sit that one out. Fix it, NBA, before it's too late. Now stay tuned to The Morning After and Ben Stevens coming up next on the Sports Grid Network.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.